2015. Chapter 1. Maputo International Airport, Maputo, Mozambique, May 1st. The gusting wind battered Troy Pierce's bearded face. He didn't care. It kept the humidity low and the stink of jet fuel at bay, while he and Johnny Paloma finished loading up the last of the gear into a rented Toyota Land Cruiser pickup. They had two drone contracts to fulfill this trip. Johnny hardly said a word, unusual for the former LAPD detective. "Something on your mind?" Pierce asked. A pair of dark aviators hid his world-weary blue eyes.
"Been meaning to ask you something."
"So I haven't you."
"Seems like the last couple of weeks you haven't been yourself."
More like a couple of months, Pierce thought. He didn't think it showed. Even though Pierce was the CEO of his global contracting firm, he liked getting his hands dirty out in the field. Didn't believe in leading from behind. He slammed the truck gate shut.
"So ask. How about I run this first training consult by myself?"
Pierce liked Johnny a lot. He was street smart and fearless, a real doorbuster. Proved his worth last year in the ops they ran against the Mexicans and Iranians. Since then, Johnny had picked up on the basic technical aspects of drone operations and proved himself a decent small unmanned aerial systems, SUAS, operator. Pierce Systems specialized in drone operations. Their first gig this week was an SUAS delivery and training consult with Sandra Gaye and the World Wildlife Alliance. 4 days from now, they would deliver a security package to the South African Special Forces Training Center at Fort Scorpio. For the first time in a while, Pierce smiled.
"You want that Gaye woman all to yourself?" "She's a friend, that's all. I just think I'm ready to lead the training. Don't need you to wet nurse me."
Sandra Gaye had flown up to Addis to sign the WWA contract 3 months before. The two of them obviously hit it off.
"I call bullshit."
Pierce saw the way he looked at her when she came into their office.
"We've stayed in touch," Johnny grinned. "By phone, mostly."
Pierce couldn't blame him. The Belgian wildlife conservationist was a real looker and bright. It was a good match.
"Maybe it is time you took point."
Pierce tossed him the truck keys.
"No point in wasting that picnic basket either."
He'd seen Johnny sneak it into the pickup that morning.
"Unless you packed it for me."
Johnny smiled.
"Not exactly."
"I'll secure the avia car." Pierce was glad to let Johnny do the training. Their destination today was the Great Limpopo Transfrontier Park. But Lake Masinjir bordered the wilderness reserve. Pierce had fished all of his life, all over the world. He thought he wouldn't get a chance to bait a hook this trip, but now Johnny made that possible. Maybe things were looking up after all. He headed back into the rented hangar. Pierce and Johnny had arrived with Dr. Rao's shipment last night from Addis in the Pierce Systems C-212 avia car, a boxy, top-winged, twin-propped STOL cargo plane. Pierce was doing most of his own flying these days, now that his personal pilot, Judy Hopper, was gone. The South African equipment was stowed away in a secret locked compartment under the deck. Pierce shut and locked the plane's cargo door, then shut and locked the hangar doors. Determined thieves could still break in, but he hired an armed security service to keep an eye on things while they were in the field. Pierce climbed into the truck cab on the passenger side. The AC was blowing good and cold. Johnny checked the map on his satellite phone, didn't look at Pierce.
"You see those two jokers in the silver Mercedes G-Class by the fence?"
"They picked us up back at the hotel an hour ago," Pierce said.
"You could have said something."
"How'd you manage to survive in L.A. with eyes like yours?"
"High-capacity magazines."
Johnny chambered around into his Glock 19 pistol.
"Any idea who they are?"
"SVR, Russian Intelligence Service."
"What do you think they want?"
"My head." Pierce had killed Ambassador